Kia ora, welcome to episode 65 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
It was another interesting week for news from a galaxy far, far away, so let's jump in and talk Star Wars. First up, we want to talk about a couple of bits of information related to Season 3 of The Mandalorian. It's kind of all over the internet, but it's very interesting and exciting to learn that Christopher Lloyd has joined the Season 3 cast. This information came via The Hollywood Reporter. It was originally confirmed when somebody saw his name on a call sheet. Character details for his role are being kept locked, but it has been described as a guest starring in nature.
Yeah, this is fun. He's obviously well known to geeks and Star Wars fans, primarily through, of course, his iconic role in Back to the Future. But he's done a lot of work. He has appeared at Auckland Armageddon Expo a few years back. So if you're a fan, you might have been able to have the opportunity to meet him, get a photo with him, autograph and such. So it's fun when actors and performers that you are a fan of show up in Star Wars, and this definitely fits the bill for me.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd's done a lot of comedic roles, and we have seen comedic guest stars on The Mandalorian, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the exact type of role he will play, because, of course, he was in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, where he played Klingon Commander Kruge, who actually killed Kirk's son, and spoiler for that 1984 movie. So yeah, he can put on a sinister characterization should the role require it. Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for any additional information related to Christopher Lloyd joining The Mandalorian. But definitely look forward to seeing what sort of character he plays. And yeah, this really speaks to the interestingly high caliber of guest stars that show is pulling in. Also, speaking of The Mandalorian Season 3, BrisbaneBulletin.com has a bit of a scoop on the return of Axe Woves in Season 3. This is a Mandalorian that accompanied Bo-Katan. He was noticeably absent in the Season 2 of The Mandalorian finale, where other Mandalorians were seen. The actress Katie Sackhoff, who plays Bo-Katan, spoke about that in a podcast where she said, "He just wasn't there, and there's a reason. It's just one of those things where I don't know if the story is something I'm supposed to tell, so he's just not there." Mildly interesting. I think we're going to see a slightly bigger role for Axe Woves, and this kind of hints at the direction that The Mandalorian Season 3 will be going. We know that a number of story elements were wrapped up in the Book of Boba Fett, which leaves us clear to really delve into Mandalorian culture and a heavily Mandalorian-based storyline for Season 3. The actor who plays Axe Woves has previously spoken on Instagram related to the Season 2 finale. Responding to fans who asked why Woves wasn't in the finale, he said that there will be answers. This is the way.
Yeah, it's interesting you say, like, in the Book of Boba Fett that several storylines were wrapped up, but it also actually, I feel like it kind of launched off a tone, a quest, a sort of a storyline for the next season of The Mandalorian that is very, very much central around sort of Mandalorian culture and clans and stuff like that. Because we see Din Djarin reacquainting with the Armorer and Paz Vizsla, and then kind of, you know, the complications that arose from that interaction. Certainly felt like that might have sort of kicked off another storyline, another sort of quest for Din Djarin that I think is going to be fairly central in the third season. I mean, I could be completely proven wrong here, but that felt important to devote a whole episode of the Book of Boba Fett to the specific story. So I'm very, very keen. It's exciting to get these little glimpses. I know they're not sort of fully official released pictures, but it's a little bit of a taste. And at the very least, it confirms that filming is taking place. So that's just exciting. Yeah, yeah. We know that it's in progress.
One thing I didn't really hit on, I said this information came via Brisbane Bulletin, but to be technical, it came via spy photos that were published on Brisbane Bulletin effectively. Fairly clearly show him on set. So yeah, interesting to know that filming is progressing, production is progressing as we expect.
And like you said, the Christopher Lloyd sort of confirmation came via a call sheet, mm-hmm. which would only really be happening if filming was going on. So
yep.
Very, very exciting. Looking forward to all those new episodes of Star Wars goodness.
All right, another production news, and this is for something that's still a little bit down the pipeline. I want to talk briefly about Rogue Squadron. This is due out on the 22nd of December 2023 in New Zealand. It'll probably be coming out on the 21st of December. There was a little bit of concern about potential delays for this sometime back, but a release schedule did come to light at the end of February this year that confirms that that time slot, that date, is still locked in for Rogue Squadron, which will be directed by Patty Jenkins, of course. Now, Michael Stackpole is the novel author who has written the Rogue Squadron novels historically, and it's interesting to hear that he has some degree of involvement in the story for Rogue Squadron. This came via an appearance he made at a recent convention, GalaxyCon, where he told fan guests that he was highly excited about the upcoming movie and that Patty Jenkins had been in contact with him early on. Really exciting news, because he's one of those authors that really played a significant role in getting a particular core set of storylines going in the expanded universe in the older era. He hasn't done Star Wars material more recently, but it's nice to know that people like Patty Jenkins have gone back to him for reference material. Michael Stackpole wrote a number of books in the X-Wing Rogue Squadron series. He wrote the first 1996 Rogue Squadron book. He went on to write Wedge's Gamble, also in 96, The Krytos Trap, Back to War in 97. He wrote the I, Jedi novel, which is the expansion of Corran Horn's story, in 98, Isard's Revenge in 99, and a couple of new Jedi Order titles, Dark Tide 1 Onslaught and Dark Tide 2 Ruin in 2000. So he's actually established quite a few characters and worked with original trilogy characters like Wedge and Tilly's. So his involvement at whatever level, I think, is really, really good news.
Yeah, this bodes well for me. I'm almost a little bit, not unsettled, but I always feel sorry for these creators that worked so hard on creating new characters, a whole new sort of storyline era for Star
Wars. It's mini world building. Yeah. He created a corner of the galaxy
are still very, very popular with fans today. And you feel a little bit worried that a new movie under the Disney banner is just going to come in and just kind of completely steamroll over that and completely redo everything. We've seen it a little bit with the sequels, obviously. Things that sit in that timeline kind of don't exist anymore. But in this regard, it looks like they're at least honoring him, even if they don't incorporate a lot of his work, just knowing that they're not completely ignoring him or ignoring his work. I really would hope, I'm crossing my fingers, that at least maybe a couple of characters from his books, if not a storyline, but a couple of his original characters are perhaps carried on into this movie, even if they have different storylines. I think it's fun when characters show up other places. Of course, Grand Admiral Thrawn is a great example of that, with the original sort of Thrawn era books by Timothy Zahn not really being possible within the new sequel film storyline, but his main character, the Thrawn character, being sort of brought in and used elsewhere, so that character gets to live on. So that'd be fun if some of Stackpole's original characters from within his book series gets used, even if they're supporting characters. I'm still crossing my fingers for that, because I think that would be really fun for the fans and for the writer himself.
Yeah, one aspect that I really enjoyed about those old Rogue Squadron novels was the breadth, the diversity in the characters in Rogue Squadron. He pulled in all these aliens. I'd really love to see more alien pilots. They were always one of my favorite aspects of the X-Wing comics as well as the X-Wing novels. So just, just talking about this has actually made me want to go back and read that first Rogue Squadron novel. I sometimes get those urges, but yeah, that's something I think I might do sometime soon. Some random bits and pieces from around the internet. StarWars.com has reported that we will be getting a Mandalorian comic adaptation in June of this year. This is interesting news because it's going to be an 8-issue episode-by-episode adaptation of the first season of The Mandalorian, and presumably they will go on to do the second season at a later date. Maybe even the Book of Boba Fett will get this treatment down the line as well. But this will be a really good way to just sort of have nice succinct synopses of those episodes and the content in them as a backup for watching the full episodes on Disney Plus.
Well, one thing I find that's kind of interesting about when you find books or comic adaptations of already existing media is the ability to add thought that you don't get translated on screen as much. We don't know exactly what Din Djarin's thinking a lot of the time, you know, because we don't even really get expressions, and there isn't sort of like a voiceover thought pattern or something like that. But in books and comic adaptations, you can have that kind of detailed element. So it'll be interesting to see if it gives us sort of any sort of additional information, any sort of internal dialogue that was perhaps missing from an on-screen adaptation. But in any way, I'm looking forward to seeing like the art. Like, even if, like, I still like collecting the comic adaptations of the movies and stuff like that. Obviously, the movie's always going to be, you know, number one, the go-to, but it's always fun going and reading the novels for those little bits of information and the beautiful artwork in the comics.
All right, let's talk Star Wars video games for a moment. The LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga is due out on the 5th of April, so we're not too far away from that. We have learnt that we may be getting an additional trailer this coming week, within a few days of this podcast recording, in fact, May the 24th US time. So we'll keep our eyes out for that. A number of reviewers have had their hands on this game, and an embargo has actually been lifted in terms of videos of gameplay. So if you go searching on the internet on YouTube, you'll quite easily be able to find some quite extensive videos of gameplay. And everyone seems to be really, really blown away by the breadth and detail in this game that's finally getting its release.
Yeah, it's been a little bit frustrating to see its release being delayed. But I think in this case, based on what we're hearing, it was all for good reasons, that this is really the sort of the LEGO Star Wars of our dreams. And I am very, very keen to get my hands on this game.
And Jedi Fallen Order, the sequel, Jedi Fallen Order 2, it'll have some slightly different name ultimately, but the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, the word on the street is that there will be a trailer and related material to be shown at Star Wars Celebration event in May. This is a highly anticipated game because it's a great storytelling product that was very well received by the audience, and I think it'll be really interesting to see where they go with a sequel.
Yeah, I know that video game Star Wars fans have been wanting sort of large story-driven games, and it felt like EA really wanted to focus on the likes of Battlefront, the sort of player versus player, and it was really fun to see the positive reaction to this game. It really bode well for any subsequent projects or potential sequels. So I am super, super excited that this one has gotten a full green lit. They're working on it. They know that it did well. Fans loved it. So I'm very excited to see what the sequel, the follow-up, will have in store for us.
It also reminds us that there'll be a lot of announcements and new material coming out from Star Wars Celebration later in May. We'll be reporting on that as efficiently as we can. We'll be talking about a lot of that new material in podcasts as it comes to light, but also keep an eye on swnz.co.nz for key announcements as they come to light.
Yeah, just as a little side note, the celebration is going to be one of the very few that isn't in the midst of movie releases. Obviously, the first chunk of celebrations 1, 2, 3 were lined up with the prequels. Then we had a couple of sort of interim ones that were a little bit quieter because they weren't new movies. And the most recent celebrations in the US have been sort of not exactly lined up with movies, but around the sort of movie hype. We certainly had trailers dropping for movies at these celebrations to sort of, you know, huge big panels of everyone screaming.
Well, there's a very cool display of costumes and props related to The Force Awakens in advance of that coming out, for instance, here.
So it'll be really interesting to see what kind of big announcements that they'll put into Star Wars Celebration. Kenobi will technically screen just prior, the first episode will screen just prior to the celebration. So it's not like they're going to give us a trailer for Kenobi because it will be in the process of screening. And we don't really have too much word. I mean, they might drop a trailer for something else, but I think they'll be really pushing anything else that is in the Star Wars pipeline in terms of games and things like that, because as we know, Lucasfilm and Disney tend to be really tight-lipped when it comes to trailers, and I don't think there's anything else. I think Andor is probably the biggest thing that they could potentially drop a trailer for.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know if that's really going to sort of live up to the hype of like a Kenobi trailer or a movie trailer. So,
oh yeah, we're absolutely looking forward to it. But for, you know, it just doesn't quite have the punch for a number of different reasons. I think it'll be very, very exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to it in terms of Star Wars content.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think you're right. I don't think they have quite the impact. But I think there's a good chance that we will see material, behind the scenes material perhaps as well.
Mm.
And who knows what else surprises will come out of Star Wars Celebration.
Wrapping up on the Star Wars video game news, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes has added a new character to the Inquisitorious team. The Seventh Sister, as appearing in the animated series Star Wars Rebels, is now available to collect in the game through the standard marquee event where you can just play through some battles as you learn how to use her, and she will be added to your roster. So she's completely free to play at this point. Of course, if you like to whale out, you can add her at the sort of max level to your roster. But for now, I'm working on just slowly accruing the Inquisitors to build up my squad. Very much looking forward to the next couple that are going to be added to this sort of lineup to fully create a full Inquisitor team. But she's a very cool character, and I'm excited to add her to my roster. So if you play that game or are interested to check it out, it's available on both iOS and Android platforms. Free to play, very fun.
All right, let's move on to talk about, we'll have a little bit more of a focus on product announcements and store reports. Hasbro held a fan celebration event online recently when they made a couple of Star Wars product reveals. Gaming greats coming to GameStop in the US, EB Games in New Zealand. That line has been extended to include the 13th Battalion Clone Trooper and the 2nd Republic Commando character, a Black Series RC-1140 Fixer character. These are already listed on the EB Games website in New Zealand for $59, and you can get your pre-orders in for those now. A big Republic Commando fan, a little bit disappointed by the RC-1138 boss figure that is yet to come out but is available for pre-order on EB Games. But I think the fact that they're going to make the full series of Republic Commandos at this rate kind of softens that. I just think I'm going to have that squad in 6-inch scale format, having already cleared up a number of the older 3.75-inch versions, which are very, very nice products.
Considering the Black Series is clearly targeted to collectors, it is always a little bit disappointing when Hasbro goes down the reusing route rather than creating original sculpts, because you know that fans want accuracy from these figures. That's a part of the draw card of the larger scale, is you can do more details, you can be a little bit more accurate and stuff like that. And so to see the Republic Commandos reusing what is essentially the Hunter figure from Bad Batch, the armor is different, so you get these little sort of inaccuracies and things like that. But at least it's not just like, oh, just tossing a popular character at us and just moving on. At least they are going to, it seems like, because doing a second one, that they're going to give us that full original video game squad of the full Republic Commando lineup. So they'll look pretty cool in a lineup, but yeah, it's just a shame, especially when you're paying the higher kind of collectible level, $59, that you're not getting a fully accurate as Hasbro could do figure.
Also from that Star Wars Hasbro fan celebration event are a number of vintage collection figures: an Imperial Gunner, an R2-D2 with sensor scope, Stormtrooper, another regular Stormtrooper, and very cool, a couple of different versions of the Bespin security guards. Isdam Edian and Helder Spinoza are their character names. So really cool to see. I'm really strangely excited about building out my Bespin scenes. I've got quite a bit of a collection of those characters, and for some reason they just speak to me, and I think it might partly be because of the representation of Bespin characters from the vintage action figure line, perhaps. But yeah, so a couple of cool upcoming vintage collection action figures. Not available for pre-order locally to my knowledge yet, but we will be reporting on those as pre-orders for them come up.
Here's hoping they have decent numbers of the Stormtrooper figure in this one. Stormtroopers are always popular in New Zealand and they always disappear. It's really hard to find them on shelves. Sometimes you're hunting multiple stores because they're a very, very popular army builder figure, of course. So generally, if somebody wants one, they want three at least. So here's hoping it's, you know, more packed in the boxes, not just one per case assortment. Here's hoping there's lots of them so that we can all get some good Stormtroopers to bulk out our Imperials.
Gentle Giant have made a number of new product announcements in the past week or so, and some of these are really, really quite cool and interesting. We've got a 1/6 scale Milestones Emperor figure from Return of the Jedi. This is quite a dramatic pose with his big Death Star window, throne room window behind him, and blue force lightning that you can use as part of the display. In the mini bust line, we're getting a Cad Bane mini bust with Toto 360, so this will be a Clone Wars version and not a Book of Boba Fett version. We will be getting a Mando with Grogu mini bust. Now there's a few versions of Din Djarin already out there in the mini bust line, but this version with his full Beskar armor actually has him holding Grogu in his arms. In the vintage jumbo figure line, these are the 12-inch recreations of vintage action figures. They're moving into actually make a Darth Maul, a prequel character, which is interesting. Now, I've seen them do this once before with a upcoming Grand Moff Tarkin figure. No, sorry, more than once before. They've done a Grand Moff Tarkin figure, and they've also done two versions of Din Djarin. But now we're going back to the movies. So this Darth Maul in 12-inch scale is sculpted to look like the vintage action figures. It's kind of interesting on the whole. I think it's quite cool and fits in maybe with this character because of the detail required to represent his tattoos on his face. You get a little bit of a break in terms of that level of that lack of detail that we had in the vintage action figures, but interesting to see this character being incorporated into the line.
It seems like Gentle Giant is taking a note out of Hasbro's playbook and playing on the nostalgia and doing alternate versions of sort of characters and or figures that previously exist. We're seeing Hasbro doing a lot of classic 3.75-inch figures as 6-inch on sort of backing cards. So it's like a scaled-up version of the original sort of carded figure. And it's interesting to see that Gentle Giant is kind of following along with that by taking sort of classic vintage sort of styling and doing sort of other figures. It is kind of a shame that they haven't just continued to buff out the full original.
I've talked about this in previous podcasts, probably not for a couple of months now, so maybe I'll mention it. But yeah, they haven't finished all the vintage action figures. We don't have some of the really cool aliens and robots, some of the more obscure characters. We don't have FX7. We don't have EV99. And we don't have a bunch of those other last 17 figures in this jumbo figure scale. But then they're branching out into other new characters. But interesting.
Perhaps they're doing this as just kind of like a talking point. They know that maybe the sort of the reality of collecting figures in a 12-inch scale on backing cards is like burning people a little bit in terms of space and money. So perhaps they wanted to just like revitalize the line a little bit, get a little bit of attention by doing these sort of one-off insertions into the main line. I hope that these don't mean that they're just meandering all over the place now and are completely ignoring their original plan to go through and do all of the vintage ones, that they're just doing these random ones to pop in there just for something new and exciting to maybe introduce people to the line that maybe want a one-off piece and then appreciate the fun and novelty of these figures because they are cool, but they do take up a lot of space.
Just mildly interesting point in speculation. I mean, that Hasbro, you mentioned the Hasbro 4-inch, 3.75-inch line and the retro collection figures there. They started off by doing a bunch of original basic figures, but they went on and did two waves of Mandalorian figures. The second wave is about to hit New Zealand shelves. Yeah, we'll be grabbing those because they're kind of fun. But maybe Hasbro will move into some of the other characters like prequel movies in that retro collection line, as well as the modern era Disney Plus streaming series.
Especially since we're hitting sort of the 20th anniversaries of the prequel movies, we're coming up towards the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones. I think that there is a nostalgia that is definitely coming through for the prequels. It doesn't have the distaste among fans as the whole. There is a sort of a groundswell of people that are really appreciating the prequels again, sort of enjoying the nostalgia because it's been so long. So I feel like we're finally getting a lot more prequel themed merchandise coming through. There is even more prequel sort of merch on this list from Gentle Giant.
Yeah, the other thing from Gentle Giant is in the 1/7 Premier Collection statue scale is a Mace Windu figure. This looks quite cool. This is Mace Windu in the Geonosis Arena, and his base plate even comes with a Jenga helmet.
Yeah, we don't see Attack of the Clones characters or even merchandise come through very often, so this is kind of interesting. A little while ago, Gentle Giant announced a Padme Episode 2 statue that looks very cool. Hasn't come out yet, but I feel like we're finally getting a little bit more prequel merch coming through, which personally for me, sort of coming in on the prequel era, is exciting to see.
Right, jumping back to Hasbro. Hasbro have a 6-inch value figure line. We saw this in a box set locally at Kmart, 6 random characters in a box set. They're 6-inch figures, not quite in perfect scale with the Black Series or with each other, but quite a cool way to get random characters for the kids. This line is being continued and going to be released as singles. There'll be 6 figures in a new line of these single-packed 6-inch value figures, quite cheaply priced, and there's a chance we'll see them locally, perhaps at Kmart, because they carried this larger box set from the same line. The interesting thing about this line is that it's reissuing a number of those pre-existing characters we saw in the box set, but it is adding in Bo-Katan and a Stormtrooper. Now, these are 5 points of articulation figures. They have the lightsabers sculpted into their hands for the saber-wielding characters. But I think even if it's a little bit less articulated, 6-inch stormtroopers that are dirt cheap, I think that's going to sell pretty well if they look half decent.
Oh, yeah. You can fill in the background of your Black Series display, you know, if you're just sort of wanting ones that are slightly sort of out of focus in the background just to kind of add into a scene. I can think that would work very well and certainly at an affordable price point to army build.
And considering that the other characters were kind of core characters in many ways, we had Luke Skywalker, Din Djarin, Darth Vader, Grogu, Rey, and a Death Trooper, I guess, breaks that rule just a shade. Interesting that they're throwing Bo-Katan into the mix. There's a bit more female representation to that line. Two new products from New Zealand Mint to mention. This month's Faces of the Empire coin is out. This is a hover tank pilot. This is the 8th of 16 in that collection, priced at about $150. You can get that from NZ Mint right now. They're also issuing a 3-ounce silver Millennium Falcon coin, quite expensive at $441 on account of the amount of precious metal involved in the product. Now, they previously did a 1-ounce silver Millennium Falcon, which was very, very cool, surprisingly cool to see in person. So the 3-ounce, slightly bigger, larger, heavier version will be quite impressive, even though it's more for hardcore collectors at that price point, I think.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of sort of some of the Royal Selangor pewter items. They're sort of smaller than average collectibles because of the materials they are made of, but certainly very impressive when you see them up close. That original Millennium Falcon detailed coin, it was in the shape of the Millennium Falcon, all very detailed. It looks like a tiny little sort of still a coin, it's still got sort of coin ridges around the side of it and stuff like that, but it is very cool for sort of a New Zealand themed collectible, and it sold very well. I know some of the other coins, they float around, you can sort of grab them when you have the budget for it, but that Falcon did sell out quite well. So clearly they've decided, okay, let's make it in a slightly bigger size, not to mess with the edition size, but to give people a second chance if they really want to add a Millennium Falcon coin to their collection. So I think it's quite cool to see.
All right, let's talk Funko for a moment. There's a number of new products, new lines, in fact, that we're going to discuss here. First up, Funko does a soda vinyl figure line where characters are, well, they're basically released in soft drink can type packaging. You can't see the character in there, and there is a chance of a chase figure variant. They've done a number of different franchises, but they haven't done Star Wars yet. That's about to change. The first two characters are available for pre-order now, and they'll be available through most Funko retailers in New Zealand. There is a Bespin Luke Skywalker. The chase version of this character has a cut-off hand, and a Boba Fett. The chase version is the white version rather than the standard painted version. They're available for pre-order at Mighty Ape now for $28, and a second wave of Darth Vader and a Stormtrooper will be seen down the line.
These are really fun figures. If you have sort of other franchises in your collecting sphere, you might have come across these. I've certainly seen some of the Marvel and Disney ones and some of the DC Comics ones. They're very fun. It's kind of fun opening them and seeing whether you manage to get one of the rare chases, because of course they are sealed inside the can and then inside a black bag inside that as well. So it's quite fun. Obviously, us collectors probably don't need more lines from Funko. They are coming at us pretty thick these days with lots of different variations and deluxe versions like the Boba Fett series and artist series and things like that. But I think that they're fun. They're sort of they feel a little bit more standalone. You don't need to collect all of them. You can collect all of them if you want, or just characters that you particularly like.
They're almost certainly not going to be as comprehensive as their standalones. They're going to be quite limited in terms of the characters they release. So they will be much easier collection.
Focused much more on favorite characters and sort of hero characters and things like that, which makes sense. We've got Luke, Boba Fett, Vader, and Stormtrooper. Obviously very classic characters when it comes to Star Wars merchandising. So I'm hoping they do more in this line.
Now, a new line of deluxe, or a new collection of deluxe figures from Funko has started to show up. We previously saw the Bounty Hunter collection with the interconnecting bases that formed a Star Destroyer backdrop. The Funko is currently running through the characters for a Duel of the Fates mini scene, 3 characters and a interconnecting backdrops. Now we are about to see what they're calling the Red Saber series. These are dark side characters with interconnecting bases. The first will be Emperor Palpatine, due out in April. priced at their deluxe price point of $64. It's up for pre-order at Mighty Ape and other retailers of Funko products in New Zealand.
I do think these deluxe figures are a little priced on the high side. I guess Funko know that they're sort of going to run out of characters or something.
Well, a bunch of the bounty hunters have been cut, haven't they?
In terms of turning up on some sale tables, yes. We're seeing Funko do this with a lot of their Disney lines. They're going through sort of reissuing particularly Disney princesses and Disney villains with deluxe sort of scene bases as opposed to just, well, most other Funkos don't have bases, but you know, with the Star Wars ones, they have that plain black base. So now they're like, okay, we'll add some more extras, make scenes and things like that. And they do look very cool, especially if you take them out of the box. I do just wish the price point wasn't so high on these. I think more fans would pick them up.
Yeah, for sure. But an interesting series nonetheless, and we haven't seen all of the characters are going to be involved. I think there's Darth Maul, probably Savage Opress, Darth Vader, of course, again, and one that's a little harder to identify. All right, and another new line from Funko, which is a little bit interesting, and just waiting to see these products in hand, calling this series a diecast series. These look like standard, from a distance, they look like standard Funko Pop characters, but they're made of a cast acrylic with etched details, and they're fastened to the base, but there's a display box that is clear acrylic with etched detailing on. Kind of a little hard to explain, but they're kind of like a deluxe sort of glamour version of the Funko box, but it's made out of acrylic, and then the figure inside is a slightly different production process with additional interesting paint apps. The first one in the lineup is Boba Fett. He looks quite cool with these sort of foil enhanced paint applications, but the chase variation is a sort of metalized version. It looks like it's cast out of pewter or something, and obviously that's going to be the rarer, hard to find one, but if they did more like that, I think it would sell like hotcakes. It looks like it's cast from metal and encased in this acrylic cube. So that's the Funko die-cast Pop series that we'll be seeing more of locally. They're not available, haven't seen them up for pre-order locally, but you can check them out on funko.com. We'll put a link below, because if you're a Funko collector, you might want to just eyeball these.
Obviously, this is a lot of new product coming in from Funko, but unfortunately, I'm seeing a lack of female characters represented here. Obviously, we can't see all of the figures from the Dark Side collection. Obviously, a character like Asajj would fit in well there, because she's so prominent in the Clone Wars animated series, especially alongside Dooku. But yeah, of course, they're going with characters like Boba Fett because the Boba Fett series.
Yeah, like the diecast is starting with Boba Fett. The soda cans are starting with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
A bit of variety would be nice.
Yeah, we don't see female characters showing up in the sort of artist series. It tends to be Stormtroopers and Vader and Boba Fett again there as well. I know that human face characters are tricky to do in these sort of art special series, and most female Star Wars characters show their face, or at least show their face predominantly in sort of collectible form. We do have the likes of like Bo-Katan and Sabine that do wear helmets. That do wear helmets, but they tend to be depicted with them off for collectibles. So I'm kind of hoping that we do see a couple of cool ones, especially with the likes of Attack of the Clones. I would love to see some Padme Amidala representation in the Funko line here, especially to commemorate that one. Seeing as like Gentle Giants jumping in with some of the Geonosian Arena stuff, it would be fun to see a little bit more there.
All right, one more product announcement that I kind of am quite keen on getting a hold of myself personally. From the publisher Titan Magazines, we've got a new hardcover book coming out, The Clone Wars, the Official Collector's Edition. As I said, a hardcover book, 144 pages, due out on April the 5th. Now, the reason I think this is interesting, and I'm personally quite keen on it, is that it is an in-depth special edition covering all 7 seasons of the award-winning animated program. Features behind-the-scenes interviews, character profiles, a detailed episode guide, and synopses for all the episodes, lavishly illustrated with imagery from the Lucasfilm Image Archives. So maybe we'll see that locally, but it is up for pre-order on Amazon. We'll put a link down below. I think this is a cool update to some of the previous Clone Wars material that we have in our library. I love the fact that it's got synopses for episodes from all 7 seasons in particular.
Yeah, it's always tricky with the sort of the books and printed material that follow along with TV shows. We're seeing some gorgeous books coming out for The Mandalorian, but you hope that they keep going so that you end up having something for each season. So when the series is all done and finished, that's a really great chance for sort of publishers to come out with books that encompass all of it, especially because season 7 of The Clone Wars came out so much later after the sort of final season of the Clone Wars. So it's neat now that there will be sort of a book, a nice sort of handy reference. This isn't a huge big coffee table book. These are sort of more like hardcover magazine sort of shaped ones.
Decent size at 144 pages. Yes. But yeah, it's
a lot more easy to have on a shelf as a reference. Book, yeah. So you don't need to sort of like pull it out and put it on a coffee table to sort of flick through this huge hardcover book. It'll be just a nice, affordable one as a reference point.
Alrighty, that's about it for today's installment. I guess we are done doing talking. If you've got any thoughts on topics we discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page or our website page for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode next week. Don't forget you can jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWNZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Kia ora, kia noho, haumaru, thank you for listening and stay safe.
Tūro Hawaiki, may the Force be with you.